Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern, podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the 2024 Q Symposium here in the beautiful Bahamas. And look who we have in the studio lounge all the way from Australia. It's Christy Hartman from Trisend NP. How are you, Christy?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you today?
I'm doing all right, doing all right. Are you really all the way from Australia, or do you live in the States?
I live in the States. Okay. I live in Dallas, Texas now.
Oh my gosh.
But I have not inherited the accent.
Oh, you haven't?
Yet.
Now, keep the Australian one. That's fine. I used to live in Dallas, Fort Worth. So.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Love it. We'll talk about that after. So,
awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Love the area. The Metroplex, as they call it.
The Metroplex.
Yes.
That's right.
All righty. Well, let's talk about Credit Unions Q Symposium. How's the conference going for you so far?
All that stuff. The conference has been great. We've had a great time seeing clients, meeting new people. It's really well attended.
Oh,
and
yes, it is.
There's been some great speakers and learned a lot so far.
Good,
so it's
good.
Been great.
Tell me a little bit, before we dive in here, tell me a little bit about Trisend NP. What do you guys do?
So Trisend is an executive benefits firm. We are based in Dallas, Texas,
obviously,
and we work exclusively in the not-for-profit space. Mm-hmm. So while we have a large credit union practice, that's not the only discipline that we serve.
Okay.
So we also do a lot in healthcare with universities, faith-based organizations, and just other sort of what I would call other not-for-profit or other tax-exempt organizations.
So you have a lot of irons in the fire, so to speak.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
It is a good thing because it helps. You learn things from different organizations or institutions that are actually applicable to credit unions and vice versa. So it really helps you to kind of broaden your skill set and your knowledge base and apply some different things.
Nice. Indeed. Yeah. Indeed. Well said. All right. So we're talking about the crucial nature of doing executive benefits, doing them right and doing them well, which is so important. Today, especially with all the changes in the C-suite today. So the first one up, the first question up, 20 years since increased regulations. So what opportunities do you see within these regulations?
So last year was 20 years since the IRS actually published the final regulations for split dollar. So we've had for a long time, about 50 years prior to that, there was no regulation at all, which is always a good thing, right?
Yeah.
But we've now operated for 20 years in an environment that tells you how these should be laid out, the parameters within which they should be placed, structured, etc. So we've learned a lot, I think, as an industry, not just us at Trisend, but just an industry in general has learned a whole lot about how these plans should be structured, how they should be applied, the things to do, to not do within that space. That being said, one of the biggest things we see is there's still an element of some people out there have sort of got the plan, maybe tucked it in a drawer, haven't looked at it in a while, got a little dusty. And so that's something that we always encourage the review of these plans and something that you should be staying on top of, because while we've got clear parameters, we can't control what insurance carriers may do, what interest rates may do, what market performance may do. And so if you've tucked it away and sort of said it's good and it's there for a rainy day, might be time to bring it out, dust it up.
Couldn't agree more. So what's changed in the last 5 years?
So in the last 5 years, obviously, we've had a pretty interesting economic climate that's been up, down. We've had a pandemic. We've had all sorts of things. But interest rates are probably, and I wouldn't say in the last 5 years, probably the last 2 years have really been the thing that have taken off faster than I think anyone could have predicted they were going to. And that presents a new challenge when you are looking at plans. Because you couple that, when you think about credit unions, you couple that with their liquidity position, with what they're using their money for to lend out, and how they're making their money, it puts such a squeeze on them. And then you have potentially people out there that might come in and say, well, then do this plan, and it's like, well, now it's really expensive, there's a whole bunch of other factors. So you have to think about that and how that plays into the design, into the approach, and into what's the right thing for the credit union.
Gotcha. Obviously. So let's talk insurance carrier developments, because that was in your last response.
Yes.
So what have you seen that has impacted your clients so far?
So there have been some different developments in the insurance industry just in general, where certain carriers, I don't want to name names right now, but have gone in a particular direction where they've had to change up their portfolio. That can be for competition reasons, that can be because maybe their underlying investments, I don't want to say they're not sound, but maybe have been not performing as well as they would like.
Yeah.
You know,
there was a lot of that last year.
As all our 401ks, right? We know they've been there, done that. And so when you look at that, that has had an impact on plans. There are some out there that have what I would call bifurcated or trifurcated a portfolio. portfolio. Mm-hmm. And so depending on when a policy may have been placed, it depends on how it may be actually impacted by what an insurance company has done.
Mm-hmm.
And you may or may not be aware of that as a consumer. And so it's another reason to take a review of these plans and these policies, because there are different tools and things that you can do.
Right.
And no need to be alarmed, because we've done a lot of research on what you should be doing,
okay,
and how to guide people through that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something to take a look at and be conscious of.
Indeed, indeed. Well said. How should credit unions address liquidity concerns with new plans? Because liquidity has been a huge concern the last 12 to 18 months.
It really has. And I think previously, when interest rates were so low, there was an argument to sort of say, well, perhaps you upfront fund a program. You lock in the interest rate,
mm-hmm,
you lock it in,
mm-hmm,
for life,
mm-hmm,
and it doesn't cost you a whole lot,
yep,
of money,
yep,
in the grand scheme of things. Nowadays, you've got to look at, well, that may not be a great use for your liquidity position, and how do we maybe fund this to be more friendly and more aware of the position that the credit union is in?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at, and you talk to clients, you look at their stress testing, and they say, well, we maybe budgeted on a 300 basis point increase. It's like nobody could have foreseen what has actually happened, right?
That right.
And so what that has done to their position, you've just got to be conscious of and say there's still a way to get this done,
mm-hmm,
but maybe it's not the approach of old. Maybe it's that we multi-year fund. Maybe,
mm-hmm,
it's that we just look at this a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a way to be very, very conscious of their position, because otherwise you're not, again, doing the right thing,
right,
by the credit union.
Yeah, yeah, indeed, indeed. And you mentioned regulatory at the top of our conversation. So regulatory components are you state and federal chartered, and how does that affect them?
So that's an excellent question, because state and federally sort of chartered credit unions, there are different rules and concepts,
mm-hmm,
that can be part,
mm-hmm,
of this. And so a lot of organizations may or may not be aware that they might be sitting in a state where you have to get permission to put in a plan from a regulator.
Oh.
Maybe you have to just notify them that you're doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have to, there's some additional steps. And so what you want to do is be compliant from the get-go,
yeah,
not maybe have your audit,
right,
and find,
right,
out you weren't in compliance with,
mm-hmm,
that. So there's a lot of different states that behave differently, and that's okay. That's what makes this great, if that,
right,
makes sense.
Yeah.
But you just got to be conscious of that, because you definitely don't want to run afoul of the regulators,
mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm,
get yourself into,
mm-hmm,
trouble on the back end. Better to be safe and sound on the front end.
I hear you loud and clear on that one. Concentration risk limitations. So how does this impact small versus large credit unions?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, because concentration risk, for those that may not be aware, is the NCUA, and then even if you're not maybe beholden to that, certain,
mm-hmm,
states have their own rules in this area,
mm-hmm,
as well. You can't have more than 25% of your net worth aggregated with multiple insurance companies, and then you can't have more than 15% of your net worth aggregated to one single life,
oh, wow,
insurance company.
Okay.
And so what happens is that while a credit union may have capacity today,
mm-hmm,
as you look into the future and you say, what about retirements, maybe future promotions, all of those things, does it make sense to exhaust or maybe completely exhaust capacity now,
mm-hmm,
or should you be saving some of that for possible needs in the future?
Yeah,
and so,
yeah,
I think that that's a part of the education process,
mm-hmm,
that needs to be had, is because capacity is one thing and you need to have capacity. That's,
mm-hmm,
important. But how far do you push that capacity?
Mm-hmm.
And that's becoming more of an issue, certainly for smaller and mid-sized credit unions. They may run up on their capacity,
oh, yeah,
a little faster than larger credit,
mm-hmm,
unions, but I think it's just a discussion in general. If you come in and you take care of the here and now, have you sort of shot yourself in the foot for future needs? Things like that.
Gotcha.
And so, and that's where it looks into, just to loop this all together, it looks into plan structure, policy structure. You know, are you single life, are you survivorship, are you dual policy, are you single policy? All of those things impact,
mm-hmm,
sort of concentration,
okay,
risk, regulatory components. It all ties together.
Gotcha, gotcha. Oh my gosh, so many rules and regulations.
I
my
know.
Goodness. Okay, so why did TriSend NP develop Executive Benefit QSO? You guys developed a QSO. Nice.
We did, yes.
Okay.
So
that means you got skin in the game.
We do. So our QSO is called Benefits CU, and it was established a couple of years ago.
Benefits CU, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And we have 9 equity members that are credit unions,
mm-hmm,
and then a couple of non-credit union partners,
okay,
in the QSO as well.
Got it.
And it's national. We've got a footprint all across the country,
mm-hmm,
which is wonderful. But the biggest thing that we noticed is that when you look at the credit union mission and the cooperative of itself, and,
mm-hmm,
it's giving back to the members,
mm-hmm,
and it's giving back to the community. When you actually look at call reports, you can determine just how much dollar value from sort of a commission standpoint,
mm-hmm,
has exited credit union land.
Yeah.
And so we really wanted to partner and give back. And so the idea of the CUSO is to help produce non-interest income and partnership to our credit union partners and obviously grow it. Mm-hmm. So we're very, very proud to say that as of the 2 years we've been in business, our equity members have seen a 58% return on their investment.
Well done.
And the distributions, I guess, that have been generated, which of course is over many years, mm-hmm. but is about $26 million in value after 2 years.
Goodness gracious.
And so it's wonderful to inject that back into the community, back into the movement, and not just have it leave and not be utilized for something that the credit union movement can
do. Very cool.
We're hoping to expand the CUSO, which is awesome. And
well,
so,
with those numbers, I don't see why not.
And so, of course, as I say to anyone who's listening, if you'd be interested in learning a bit more about the CUSO, we'd love the opportunity to tell
you. Benefits CU. Okay.
Benefits CU.
Okay, we'll put that link in the show notes, too, so people can check it out. So, last question for you. Awesome. What are some of the goals that you have here at the conference, bringing it back to Symposium?
So it's wonderful to see sort of the leadership component that is happening here and the merging between people that might be quite established in the roles, people that are new in their roles, and the partnership they're forging with their board chairs and all of those sorts of things. So for me personally, it's here to learn what is affecting them, because things that we do, while it may not seem that it impacts their daily life, it does.
Yeah.
It actually does. So that's one of the things, but also just to see clients, meet new people, and just further personally my understanding and knowledge of the industry and how we could better serve and better partner with the industry.
So, because are you working like in all these different industries as well? So,
you
know a lot about a lot of things.
I don't know about all of that, but I certainly try. But, you know, I can give an example of, you know, in the healthcare space, obviously they file a Form 990, while state chartered credit unions do too.
Okay.
So that idea
are
some things that you learn from, say, dealing with healthcare that can have application in credit union land. And then things that you learn in credit union land that absolutely have application in other industries as well.
So there's some overlap there. Okay,
there
gotcha,
is,
gotcha.
But it's nice for that sort of multi-duplicity, if you say, to kind of come to fruition. It's nice.
Alrighty. Anything else, Christy, to add before I let you back to the rest of the show?
I think I would just say that to anybody that has implemented a supplemental executive plan, just if you haven't looked at it in a while, something that we will do is we don't charge anyone to take a look at it, and we'd be more than happy to take a look given all of the developments and just see, is your plan on track? Are there some changes we could make? And we'd be happy to help you with that.
Well done. All righty. Well, good stuff. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go here. Thank you so much. We can get you off the hot seat here, and you're free to go. So thank you very much, Christy. That was fun.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome.
It.
Well done.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.